other side of, and you don't even know how you got there, right? I mean, you don't even realize how you were able to get to that place. But can I tell you, for us that know, it is that unseen hand. It is. Amen. Well, for the last several weeks we've been talking about, and we'll do that today, and maybe even throw in some more sporadically throughout the year. But we've been talking about, can the church thrive in 2025? I want you to take your Bible this morning and look with me in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9. Chapter number 9, Gospel of Mark. And, you know, we've at one point did an extensive study in the book of Mark. I mean, we did it. It took years for us to get through it, right? Y'all remember that? And some of you say, yeah, preacher, I remember those Wednesday nights we went through the book of Mark. But, you know, it's a
good thing for us to go through the scriptures and hit just about everything that we can. But anyway, in that, you know, it just seems like a lot of times whenever there is the same story in multiple gospels that I don't know. I just like to go back and read Mark. Maybe I'm a little more familiar with it or have been through it the way that we have. But as I said, we're going to talk about another part of the thriving in 2025. And I want to talk to you this morning, preach to you a little bit about some contentions during the thrive. Contentions. Sometimes there are things that happen during your spiritual life that you need the Lord, and we always need Him, but it seems like you need Him more for. So you'll get what I'm going to say here. Look with you, Will, here in this chapter, verse number 14. Verse number 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you for the time and the day and all that you've blessed us with here now. And I pray, give us direction, give us wisdom, give us understanding through the scriptures. Help us to see you more than anything. And may there's somebody here today that's lost. Would you speak to their heart about salvation? Show them their need of Christ Jesus, and we'll simply thank you and praise you, give you worship for all that you do. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, if you're familiar with this chapter and you've studied it before, you know that as we look at it, what has happened previously in this chapter. Very first part of this chapter, Jesus has gone into the mountain and has been transfigured before all the people. Now, this was type of Jesus in his glory, and there were just certain ones that were there with him. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus during this transfiguration. I mean, man, you know, we like to think about those times in those mountaintop experiences, don't we? I mean, here was a mountaintop experience. Peter, James, and John. They were Jesus. Jesus is transfigured. Here comes, during this time, Elijah and Moses are there in the glory with Jesus. And, man, these guys are there, and they're all just big-eyed and don't know what to do and what to say. And, of course, Peter, he's always going to say or do something, and he does. And you know how that Jesus tells him, just this ain't the time, this ain't the place. But then he hears a voice from heaven, the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." So, you know, here they are. They've been on the mountaintop. Everything's great. Hallelujah. Y'all like that? I mean, I love to come to church and God does something and he just moves in and visits and wow, it's exciting, isn't it? But guess what? At the foot of that mountain, you're back down in reality. Jesus has been with his disciples. There's been an exciting and wonderful thing that's happened. But it says he comes down from the mountain. Look at it in verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain, they're coming down from this mountaintop experience. And then in verse 14, when he came to his disciples, he came to the rest of them that had been there. And you kind of got to get the picture here that Jesus is up on the mountaintop and his other disciples beside Peter, James, and John, all the other 8 of them or 9 of them are down there in the valley and they don't know what to do. They're just waiting, you know. And while they're waiting, a man comes to them that has a child that is possessed with this demon that we read about and you hear about. He's got this issue. He's got this problem. So this man says, "Hey, y'all are Jesus' disciples, right?" Yeah. "Well, we've heard about all the things you guys have been doing. So here's my son. He's got this problem, and I want you to do something about it." Wow. And you know what? I think those guys were like, "Yeah, we've dealt with this kind of stuff before." But they haven't dealt with this particular kind of thing because they find out something's wrong. And that's what I want you to look with me at this morning is that sometimes there is a contending that comes on for us during our spiritual life. There's times when there is contention that you and I have to face. Jesus' disciples are here and they've got to face this situation. You're going to run into some things in your spiritual walk that you've got to face. Well, how are you going to face it? Well, let me just tell you, real short and sweet, the answer is this. You and I need spiritual power from heaven to get in and through some of these situations. You need some spiritual power. And if you don't have spiritual power, you better just mark this down. You're going to be an easy target for the devil. Now, I am not telling you that you're going to go out these doors and there's going to be somebody out there and say, "Here's my child and you know, he's having this issue. What can you do about it?" I mean, that may happen, but more than likely, you're going to go back to the job and there's going to be people you got to face there. You're going to go back to your family and there are people and situations that you're going to have to face there. You may just be out in the public, in the supermarket or at the school or, you know, wherever you are, and there's going to be some situation that's going to come upon you while you're out and about with the public. And you've got to know, not only have you got to know, you've got to have some spiritual power about you, okay? So I want you to look at that this morning. Let's just talk about it just for a few minutes and see what has developed here and what needs to develop. First of all, I want you to look at it. As we talk about spiritual power, first of all, I want you to notice in this story, you see at this particular time as Jesus comes into this situation, I want you to notice the lack of it. The lack of it. Look what it says there, if you will. And when Jesus comes down and he meets this man and He begins to say, well, you know, Jesus said, why are you? He's asking the scribes and actually the whole crowd to say, what are y'all talking about? Why are you, what is it that you have a question for my disciples about? And one fellow steps up here in verse number 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Now, he explains, you know, what the situation is. He teareth him, he foameth, he gnashes with his teeth, he pineth away. And listen, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. But look at that very last phrase. And they could not. Boy, how many times have you and I been there? And they could not. We couldn't. We couldn't go into that situation. We couldn't do anything in that situation. We felt powerless. We felt helpless. And we just missed the whole mark by not being able to do what maybe even we thought could be done through prayer or through trust or through faith. I mean, hey, we've been there where we thought, oh boy. You know, and I think these guys, well, just notice this. First of all, I want you to notice, if you will, they had a reputation for this sort of thing. Right? They had a reputation. Can I tell you today that when you name the name Christian, then folks give you an instant reputation. You say, I'm a Christian. They say, oh, well. You know, maybe they might ought to get out their little checklist and check with you and say, well, if you're a Christian, and they will, won't you? They, you know, they'll want to check up on your Bible knowledge if you're a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, can you tell me why, la, 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 you know, or why does the Bible say this, or why do y'all believe that, or why do you teach this, or why is this said about Christians, or why do Christians act this way, that way? You know, there's always a reputation that follows you. And these men already had that reputation. They knew they were the disciples of Jesus. Can I tell you, when you tell everybody you're a disciple of Jesus, you can say it by saying, I'm a church member, I'm saved, I go to this church, you know, whatever it is that you do, and you identify yourself, you automatically have a reputation. You've got a reputation. Amen. Can I tell you? That's something to be proud of, but it's also something to be cautious over. I'm a Christian. Well, automatically, folks have got some things in your mind, right? They say, well, if I'm talking about a Christian, they're going to watch you. Why do you think Christians acted that way? I didn't think Christians talked like that. I don't think Christians went here and dressed like this and looked like this and did this and this and this and this. I mean, you've got a reputation, right? Isn't that what everybody says whenever you say you're a Christian? And isn't that what you do too? Don't you do the same thing? Somebody comes up and they say, well, I'm a Christian. And you know what we do sometimes? We just kind of cop back, sit back and watch them a little bit and say, let's see how much a Christian they are. Go ahead, shake your head. Because I'm right. We do. There is a reputation. These guys had a reputation. I mean, you know, and as a matter of fact, part of that reputation is, as I say, they had already been doing some of these things. Remember, Jesus sent them out two by two. He said, you go and you cast out the wicked spirits, and you go and you heal people, and you go into this town, you preach gospel, you do this and that and that. And man, they've already got a reputation. But something happened. Something happened. And they could not. They could not. It goes from being having a reputation to having a ruination. Oh, buddy, they ruined themselves with this guy, didn't they? He said, well, I brought my child here to your disciples and asked that they should cast him out, and they could not. What's wrong with them? They're supposed to be Jesus followers. They're supposed to be like you. They're supposed to be able to do the same thing. I mean, man, what's wrong? And can I tell you something? Me and you will fall into that category of ruination every once in a while if we're not careful. And I'm not telling you you're going to go out here and, you know, perform healings and do miracles. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying sometimes we ruin ourselves. You'll do something that spoils that reputation or that picture that people have of you. Amen. Amen, preacher. Yeah. I know I'm right. Amen. So there's this ruination. I mean, that's what's going on in this present time. They had a reputation because that's what happened in the past. But look what's happening right now in the present. They can't seem to do anything. And I know this is all, you know, for a lesson for all of us. But isn't that kind of amazing? I mean, I'd probably be a little put out with them myself if I saw them and I said, hey, y'all been able to do it. Why can't you do it for me? What's wrong with it? And there's something going on in this whole situation. So you see their reputation. You see the ruination. But I want you to notice that there's certainly some things here that are within their reach. Look at verse number 19. And he answered, Jesus says this to him, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Amen? I mean, Jesus is saying right there, you guys ought to have been able to have handled this. And as a matter of fact, for the whole crowd, you should have been able to demonstrate something that we've been doing, that you've seen me do, that I've sent you forth to do, that has happened in the time past. But it just ain't happening today. Can I tell you something? Hey, every time you come to church, it won't be the same. You know that? We won't have the same singing. We won't have the same preaching. We won't have the same spirit. We won't have the same moving. We won't have the same activities. We won't have the same responses. We won't have everything the same. Now, we want it that way, don't we? I mean, boy, we'd like to have everybody up taking a lap, shouting, hooping and hollering. It don't always happen like that. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus says, it's within your reach. It's there if you were and had what you're supposed to have. What is that? Again, it goes back to spiritual power. So first of all, you see the lack of it. There's a lack of spiritual power for these men in this situation. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Not only do you see the lack of it, I want you to see the Lord of it. The Lord of it. Look in verse number 20. And it said, And they brought him unto Jesus said in verse number 19, bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. I want you to see the Lord in these situations. Can I tell you, I may make a mess. And sometimes it may be because it's me trying to do it and I'm not where I ought to be with him. Amen? I'm not doing it the right way. I'm not doing it for the right reason. I'm not doing it the right spirit. I'm not doing it for, the correct purposes or whatever. I might be trying to build up me. I might be trying to build up my name. And you say, oh, preacher, surely Christians wouldn't do it. You just better look out. You know what Paul said? Paul said this. He said that there was sent me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know what that means? Paul said, the Lord has sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, it's a thorn in my flesh because I might get the big head. You know, we was here Wednesday night. We were talking about David and Bathsheba and all the family. We were talking about how great a man David was. And he was, you know, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he was the, you know, Mr. Wonderful. I mean, that was David. But guess what happened? Yeah, chapter number 11 of 2 Samuel happened. David fell into sin with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed and several other of his soldiers died along with it. Buddy, I mean, and David is out here trying to cover, backtrack, and do everything he can. What do you mean? I thought David was the man. He is, but he got a little bit too big for his britches, as we say. So I told you, is here Wednesday night, I said, sometimes we get to reading our own newspaper clippings and we think they're right. Amen? Huh? Woo! Look at me. Guess who I am? And I don't know if that's what these disciples did, but they brought this young man. And Jesus said, hey, this isn't going to happen just because it's you. He says, it's going to happen because it's me. Okay? That's what you and I have to understand. But look, I want you to see the Lord of it. Well, you see, first of all, I think we'd describe this whole thing as a pitiful situation. Can you see this child? And you know, that's what the father says. He said, I have brought unto thee my son. And just from the explanation of it, it seems like he's rather young. Maybe even a teenager or pre-teenager or whatever. Because Jesus asked him, how long has this been going on? He said, of a child. And it sounds like you and I would describe it in our day that this young man may be having a seizure or has epilepsy along with a problem of being deaf and not unable to speak. I mean, here he can't do anything. He's in a pretty sad situation when you look at it. And, you know, I'm of this opinion that mom and daddy's done everything they could do to take care of themselves. They've seen every doctor. They've done every remedy. They've talked to this person. They've seen somebody else. And but all of a sudden, hey, the daddy hears that Jesus and his disciples are going to be in the area. So what does he do? He brings his son to them and expects something to happen. You see, it's a pitiful situation. As a matter of fact, while all of this is going on, Jesus says, bring him to me. Look what it says in verse number 20. They brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tarried. That demonic spirit hit him at that time. He fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming. I mean, that's bad. Look what it says in verse 22. Oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Amen? I mean, man, we're at the end of our rope. We've done everything we know to do. We brought him here, and your disciples couldn't do anything. Is there anything that you can do? It's a pitiful situation. But I'm glad next you can see the power of the Savior. Amen? Look what the Bible says. Jesus saith unto him, verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Amen? Aren't you glad to see the power of God is still real? I'm here to tell you, the power of God is still real in 2025. He can do some things you and I don't understand. He can be in some places you can't go. He can talk in some things that you and I can't speak to. Thank God, he's still real today. Amen. Glad to report that to you. Hey, and you see that miraculous power. Here's a parent that's at the end of his rope. He's done everything he can do. And he's just saying, Lord, whatever you can do. And Jesus said, if you'll just believe. And you see what he said? He said, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Isn't that us? Lord, I believe you, but I just don't know about this. I'm not sure about this situation. I'm not sure at this time. I'm not sure what can be done. I'm just having a little faith problem. And if you'll be honest, you have them too. Amen. Lord, I'm trusting you, but boy, this looks like it's too big. This looks like it's too much. This looks like, you know, and these other guys are supposed to be like you, and they couldn't do it. Is there something that you can do? Thank God, aren't you glad there is? And Jesus spoke to this spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And that spirit was rent out of him, and it looked like he was dead, but Jesus reaches down and picks him up. I want to tell you this, and you see a powerful Savior, but then you see the fact that a prisoner has been set free. A prisoner has been set free. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I'm glad he's able to do that. Aren't you glad he set you free? We sing that song every once in a while. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus is saying. For glory to God, he set me free. Hey, I'm telling you were bound by sin. You were tied up. You were weighed down. You were headed for hell. But hey, he set you free. How did he do it? It was a spiritual power that set you free. Now, I'm not telling you to start running around here and, you know, biffing people and hitting them and all that. I'm just telling you, thank God, he's still able. He has that spiritual power that you and I need. I mean, he has that. As I say, we see that there is that spiritual power that comes from the Savior. I mean, you saw the lack of it there. It seemed like it ought to have been among his disciples, but it wasn't there. But then you see the Lord of spiritual power, and all he's got to do is speak, and things happen. All right, last of all, I want you to get this. Let's learn some lessons about spiritual power. Here are the lessons of it. First of all, I mean, we should not, but many times we do, have a void of spiritual power. I mean, you see his disciples come to him, and they say, Lord, why couldn't we do this? Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why was there that void in us of spiritual power? I want to tell you something. I've asked that same question. I've wondered, Lord, why didn't you do this? And why didn't it go this way? And why, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? And Jesus didn't say, well, you know, you just should have stood taller and lasted longer and, you know, sung higher and shouted more. He didn't say any of that. He said there was a reasoning to it, but it wasn't anything necessarily that they could physically do. It's all to do with spiritual power. And we don't need, I mean, you can stand up and wave your hand and, you know, do this and try to knock people backwards and all that kind of stuff, like you see some of them on TV. Hey, can I tell you, that's not spiritual power. I want you to understand that. That's not spiritual power. There's nothing that has anything to do. Brother, the only spiritual power there is found in Christ Jesus. And when somebody wants to yield themselves to the Lord, hey, we can fill up that void of our spiritual power. Amen? We can fill up that void. But let me just say to you and me, hey, we ought to see the value of spiritual power. You need to understand this. Coming to church is great. Coming to church and seeing each other and fellowshipping and all of that, that's great. I mean, we ought to do that. We're commanded to do it. We're admonished and we're directed that that's what we should do. But when we come for a reason. We're here to worship the one that holds the key to that spiritual power. And there's no telling what he'll do. If you and I'll connect with him, if we will pray. Jesus said that, didn't he? You see what he said about the value of spiritual power? He said, well, boys, here's what you should have, what you missed. He said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I mean, that what he's saying is, this is where you get into real, in-depth communication with God. It's not something on the surface. It's not a good show. It's not a, well, you know, it's me and our show. You know, I think I've seen a lot of preachers sometime come in and they thought because they was there that, boy, things was going to happen. It doesn't have anything to do with the preacher. Amen? Unless he knows that he's spirit-filled. And it doesn't have anything with your confidence in the preacher. You need to pray for him. I don't care who it is. I've seen some of the greatest men of God get up and just, you know, make a big flop and just, you know, whatever. And sometimes you got to look around and say, where'd that come from? I'll tell you, there's a spiritual void because there's a spiritual disconnect because we just didn't have the spiritual power that we needed at that time. Amen? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, this is me, Lord. I got to do it. This is me. Have you forgot who this is? Don't you know who I am? And God said, don't you know who I am? Amen? I mean, sometimes we get to worry about who we are and what we're doing and where we are and how we stand and all that kind of stuff rather than focusing the attention on Him. I mean, it's on Him. It is this. You've got to have some dependence upon Him. I mean, there's an importance, and the importance is in prayer, and the importance is in the fact that we're depending upon Him. Not, well, I'm a Baptist. Whoop-de-doo. Right? Well, I'm a member of this church. Well, whoop-de-doo, I am too. So we're all in the same mess. We must realize that we're dependent upon the power that comes only from the Lord. Amen? Elijah has gone up to heaven. Y'all remember that story over in 2 Kings and the very first part of it? He's taken by chariot up, and his mantle falls down to the earth, and there's Elisha. And God has told Elijah to prepare Elisha to be the prophet in his stead. And you know what he does? He's been following him around. I mean, he's right there, and he, you know what he's wanting? You know what he asked for? He said, Elijah said, "Will you ask me for what you want before I'm gone?" And he said, we'll pray and we'll see if the Lord won't give you. He said, "I want a double portion of the Spirit that's on you." In other words, that power that I've seen in you. And Elijah said, "Well, you've asked a hard thing, buddy." He said, "But you hang around and let's see what happens." Amen. So Elijah's gone. The mantle falls. Elisha picks that mantle up. And you know what he does? He goes over to the little, the body of water, the Jordan River that's there before. He takes that mantle and he casts it out. He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He didn't say, "I'm the big bad boss now and I'm in charge and they've left me." No. He wanted to know where the power of God was that was seen on Elijah. Can I tell you, that's what we need in 2025. We need the power of God. We still need it. You say, "Well, I'm back in the Old Testament." We still need it. 2025. I mean, Jesus and what He's doing here is in the New Testament. We still need the power of God. It's still relevant. It still works. It's still what's necessary to get things done in the spiritual world today. So we need to understand the value of spiritual power. And I'll tell you this more than anything, we ought to be praying for a visit for some spiritual power. I mean, you ought to come in and say, "Lord, please show yourself to us today. Just manifest your power. Manifest your person. Manifest who you are. Show that to us today." Y'all probably heard this. Many years ago, Jonathan Edwards preached a famous message that was called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And that's been, in the 1800s, whatever it was. Been years ago. He preached this message, and during the preaching, when he was preaching that message, the reports are that people were grabbing onto the pews, onto the backs of the pews. They were grabbing onto the arms. They were hanging on for dear life because they felt like that the floor would open up beneath them and they would fall into the very pits of hell itself. I mean, they were terrified. Well, us preachers are how we are. I began to do a little investigating on that. And you can find that message. And I mean the exact message. Do you know why you can find it? Every word of it? Because Jonathan Edwards would sit down and he would write out his sermons. And when he got up to preach, he got out his papers and he began to read off of the paper. And I'll just tell you, from every explanation that I've seen, Jonathan Edwards didn't preach like I did. From those that reported it and that were reporting from that time, they said that it wasn't, some dynamic, boisterous, loud, threatening, and thundering kind of voice. He read it in a regular speak type of voice, just a speech, as you'd give one. But you know what was there? The power of God. It was in that message. It was sent from heaven. So let me tell you something. You say, "Oh, we like a preacher that gets up and booms and busts and does all." That's fine. That's fine. I like it too. But can I tell you, those men that may get up and seem a little bit more simple, a little bit more sedate, and a little bit more quiet than let me tell you, they can still have the power of God upon them just as well. See, that's what it's all about. It's not about your eloquence or your education or your place or your stature or your school you went to or any of that kind of stuff. It's about the power of God. Jesus says, "You guys need this. You guys need this." And I'm telling you, we all need it. We still need it. You know why? When you do find that spiritual power, you and I can do, as we sang that song, we can find the victory that there is in Jesus. Amen? Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me even before ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Nothing you did, nothing I did, nothing anyone did. It's all by a spiritual power that is there on high. Do you know about that spiritual power this morning? Brother Ronnie, come on, if you would, we'll get ready and sing a verse of a song. Hey, spiritual power is what we need today. Jesus said, He said to them, "You faithless, where's your faith?" How many times Jesus said that to His disciples and to the others about Him? And, you know, it was an issue of faith, trust. He told that daddy, He said, "If you'll only believe." He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." You ever been there? Are you there today? Have you got some things and you're just not sure about all the things that are going on? Let's stand, if you would, this morning. We're going to sing. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
Page 375.
Page 375.